verses 19 to 30. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you just open up our hearts to it, that you give us these things, Father, that we know that our hearts can be filled, not only with your truth, but with your love, and that our ears may be blessed with your voice. So help us now, Father, to receive your message. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Now, if you're inclined to be there in that scripture, and I do hope that you are, let's go back and take a look at it. I want to show you a pattern that appears here in God's words. Now, as we look at this, I'm going to point you back to verse 19. And it said, now those who had been scattered by the persecution of Stephen, when he was killed. Now, if you remember, there was another place that they went to at the same time. So this is a parallel. So in other words, we have stepped back to that time of the persecution when it broke out when Stephen was stoned to death. And so in that parallel, we also know that Samaria is also being evangelized. Samaria is also having the word spread out there, and people are coming to know Jesus Christ. And so now we find this other side of the parallel here in Antioch and Cyprus and Cyrene, that these men come and they spread this word and they bring the message of God, the word of God, through Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ. And as they spread this word, something begins to take place. Now, look at verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Okay, so they had this blessing with them. They brought this truth. They brought this word, but it still took the blessing of God. It took his hand to touch them and to lead them and to guide them in this. And they brought the word to the people who did not know Jesus. And they turned. So they don't claim this as their trophy, but rather they claim this victory in the name of their Lord, Jesus Christ. And so as God then, his hand is upon them and he brings them into these places and they spread this word and people start to come to know him. All of this hullabaloo doesn't go unnoticed. In verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem. So they're at the church. There are people down there preaching this gospel. They probably don't even know who some of them are. All they know is that they have started this, and now they start to hear about this. They have spread the word of God out there, and people are turning to Jesus. And they hear this back at the church. And they mean, the interpretation of this word means church, just as we know it today. So the church hears about this, and this church happens to be located in Jerusalem. And they say, well, that's really great news. That's awesome to hear. Well, I hope it really goes well for them. No, what they do is they go and investigate. They want to send someone down there. They want to find out about this. They want to know about this. They want to be a part of this. They don't ignore it. And so they find out one of their best in Barnabas. I say, Barnabas, we want you to go down there. We want you to see what's happening down at Antioch. We hear all of these things about Jesus and about people coming to Jesus. We want you to go there. We want you to find out what's happening. Confirm for us that this is the one true God. And so they send Barnabas down there. And in verse 23, we see this take place. When he arrived and saw with his eyes, he saw the grace of God working among these people. Now keep that in mind the next time that we say to ourselves, well, we can't know if someone is saved, or we can't know if God is working in them, if we can't know if the Holy Spirit is working in them, because you can know. Barnabas is a good man. He is a faithful man. The Holy Spirit is working in him, but there's nothing special about him. He's just one of them. It takes one to know one. And so they send him down there. Can you tell us what you see? And so he goes and he sees, he arrives and he sees what grace God had done. And his heart is lifted up. He's glad. He's glad. So in this parallel, in this process, this pattern we see, so let's catch up a little bit here. So what we see here then is that they hear of this thing, that God is working down there. They don't know that, but all of a sudden they hear of this. So they go and they send somebody to investigate. So they still don't take credit for themselves, but they understand that they are working faithfully in the name of God. And so they send someone there. Okay, so they discover it, they investigate it. They find out, and then they confirm. And so they send someone. And then someone goes down there, someone Barnabas, someone they know has the Holy Spirit. How do they know that? Because they see his life. They looked at Barnabas. It's just part of the same pattern. They looked at Barnabas. Man, Barnabas, he's a godly guy. Let's send Barnabas. He'll go down and he'll tell us what he sees because we trust Barnabas. He knows God. So he goes down there and he looks and he sees God. God is working down here. I see God working in them. He's on the phone, right? He doesn't send them a text because that's kind of, you know, impersonal. So he calls them on a cell phone. You know what that is, right? Okay, you dial the number and somebody answers and you say, hello, this is Barnabas. The encourager. We've met Barnabas before here in Acts. We know he's this guy that encourages Paul to when Paul is Saul, and he encourages him to come up to Jerusalem, and all they want to do is kill him. But he's like, no, this is Saul. Be encouraged. And so now he's doing the same thing. Now he's down there, and he calls back to them, and he says, hey, God is everywhere here. I can see him at work. I can see him alive in his people. I could see him in the Holy Spirit amongst these people who are proclaiming Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, Barnabas, how did that happen? Well, these guys from Cyrene, they came in here and they were preaching this word of Jesus only to the Jews. But then some other guys came down and they were Greeks and they preached to the Greeks too. And all of a sudden, now the Greeks are involved. So then we see. We understand that Barnabas is part of this pattern. He's part of this pattern. He's playing a role. And that God has sent him down there through the church, who's playing a role. So they feel it because they believe too, and so they feel it. The Holy Spirit is in them. And so the Holy Spirit says, send somebody down there to find out. Well, why would we do that? What do we care about them? As long as we have ours. No, that's not what happens when you have the Holy Spirit. You see, there's a certain pattern that comes out of us. And it shows in them. We can see that. And so they send Barnabas down. He's just glad. He's glad. And he encourages them all to remain true to the Lord. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm encouraging you. Stay true to the Lord. Barnabas, encourager. That's what his name means. Don't give up. Don't stop. Just remain true in your hearts. It starts there. It starts in your hearts. Stay true to him. Well, why does he got to tell them as God is working that in them? Because he's got to go do something. He's got to lead them. And so he wants them to be encouraged. So remain true in your heart. Now look at it. Look at here. Look at it, verse 24. He was a good man, Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So now we hear his credentials. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now we really don't know if that means because Barnabas was there, now all these people came to the Lord. Or rather, it was they were all coming to the Lord because, you know, that's why Barnabas is there. I think it is the latter. I think that they were there, they were coming to the Lord. Barnabas was there as a part of it, as a role. He was playing a role. And he encourages their hearts not to give up. Stay true to the Lord. Remain faithful to the Lord. And so then as he leaves, he goes to Tarsus. And what's he going to Tarsus for? He's going to find a guy by the name of Saul, who would later we would know as the Apostle Paul. But at the moment, he is Saul. And he was one of those guys who was out there crucifying Christians. He was the guy who was out there having death notices signed for them so that they could be murdered for their faith. Saul. This is who Barnabas wants. So he goes to Tarsus, where Saul has been sent. Now, many believe that this is the time that Paul, who was Saul, spent his time in the presence of Jesus Christ, and he learned to be an apostle, a messenger of God. And so they go, and he goes and he finds Saul, and he brings him back to Antioch. So he takes this guy, Saul, who's also seen the Lord, who now is saved by the Lord, and Barnabas brings him to see them. And they look at Saul and they see him. So for a whole year, I'm in verse 26. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Now, let's take a look at that for just a second, because before we were talking about their hearts, and now we are talking about their minds. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church. The church. He met with them. The interpretation here is that they were together, that they met as a body of believers. There was no white person, black person. There was no Greek, not Greek, Gentile. There was nothing like that. They were believers in Jesus Christ. They didn't care where they lived or what kind of hut they came out of or what kind of mansion they came out of. They were together. That's all they wanted to be, was together. They didn't care what so-and-so had said to their uncle hundreds of years ago. There were no grudges. There was no spiting each other. There was no barriers. They were together. And this is what they did when they were together. Paul taught them. They learned. They sat under his teaching. They open up their minds, they open up their hearts, and they said, give us this word. And so for a whole year, you think Sunday school is long? A whole year. Paul would later demonstrate that he's the guy who could preach all day and all night until a young man by the name of Eutychus fell out of the window and died. So in this pattern, we find this teaching that it's not just your heart, it's also your mind. And now I have another slide. Could I get that next slide, please? Now, Matthew, this should be Matthew 28, and it is awesome. Worked out great. If you would please join me there. If you don't have a Bible open in front of you, I ask that you then either get one or slide next to somebody who has theirs open. And you take credit for them finding it. And I know you're probably wondering, well, why is he making us go there when he has it up there? Because I'm going to make a point. Look at Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Stop there. Go and make disciples. Well, a disciple is someone who learns. A disciple is a student. A disciple is someone who follows a teacher, and the teacher helps them to understand and helps them to know. And then as he teaches them, then they are considered to be his disciples. In other words, Jesus has disciples. And so Jesus is commanding, or he's telling us here, go and make disciples. Who? Jesus, who do you want? All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, in my name. Baptize them because of me. But now if you're with me there in 19, and as you look at this up here, it sounds all well, right? But there's something missing. You see, now if you throw your heart on verse 19, you only get half of the story. But if you throw your mind on verse 20, you get the rest of the story. And teaching them to obey everything, and here it comes, I have commanded you. And surely, and this is a promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go out and make those disciples. Teach them. Now, as we go out, or rather, as we look here and we see that Barnabas goes out first and then Saul comes in, that Barnabas is doing nothing but obeying what his master has told him. He's following the command. He was commanded to go out and teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. This pattern. So they are disciples themselves, and now they are disciple makers themselves, and they go out and they are making disciples. Why? Because it was a good suggestion. It was thought it was just a great plan because the church thought it would be wonderful if we just had more disciples. No, because it was commanded. We were told to do that. And I know learning is hard. Teaching is easier. Learning is hard. But notice that God, Jesus, who's with us through all time, helps us to learn. He gives us ways to learn. If you're in 28, turn the pages back until you come to chapter 29. And then 22. Turn them back till you come to 23. There is no 29, so if you went there, we want to see the version of your Bible. Go to 22 and look for verse 34. So when we teach a person a whole concept, the best thing that we can do is to teach them the parts. First, if you're training somebody to do a new job, you show them how to do all the little tasks first, and then one day they can do the whole job. So here in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, Jesus has been in an argument with the Sadducees, who are trying to demonstrate that he is not the Christ. So hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, in other words, he showed them that, well, they weren't really smart guys like they thought. The Pharisees got together. So the Sadducees had a crack at him. Now the Pharisees get a crack at him. One of them, an expert in the law, so if you're not sure what's going on, you bring in the lawyers. That always makes everything better. So an expert in the law tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest, here it comes, commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now let's turn back to Acts 11, 19 to 30. So there is your heart, your soul, your mind. He says, love me with your heart. Love me with your soul. And love me with your mind. Go and make disciples of all of the nations, not some of them, all of them. Baptize them. Teach them. Because I will win their hearts, you're going to help their minds. And so he says, Barnabas, who gets it, he sees it, so he goes and gets Saul, because he knows Saul is like one of the premier smart guys of their time. He says, you come and you teach them, because you're the guy who teaches. And so for a whole year, he taught them. And then in our verse 26, in that last sentence, the disciples were called Christians first. At Antioch. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are his disciple, you are a Christian. So, a disciple who is a learner follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. And it happened first at a church that was just beginning called Antioch. So as we look at that pattern that the Lord works, then the rest of the believers jump to it and say, is this really the Lord? Then they receive the responsibility of to encourage their hearts, to teach their minds, and to grow their souls. That's the pattern. None of it was a suggestion or a request. It was all a commandment. So that leaves us with two options. Either as believers, we are a disciple, or we are a disciple maker. Now, I've been playing around with this a little bit, so I found you a third option in here, but don't lay on that because, you know, it came from me. You can be both. You can be both a disciple and a disciple maker. You don't have to be as smart as the guy from Tarsus. You only have to love God. You only have to have a heart and a soul that helps you to be a disciple maker, even when you're a disciple. But if you're saying, which one am I? Those are your two choices. You're either a disciple or you're a disciple maker. He doesn't give us another option. Why? Because these are commandments. We either open up our minds and our hearts to what Jesus Christ has done and has taught us and now shares with us through other believers, called a church, or we reject it. Now, just in case we were not very clear, I will let you decide for yourselves. Doing one is obedience. Doing the other is disobedience. And when you disobey God, well, that's for next Sunday. Father, I just thank you so much for this time with your loved ones. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to bring us to your church, that we can see each other, that we can see you at work. And when, Lord, we don't see you at work, then I would ask, Father, that you help us to be encouraged, to encourage others, to step in the pattern that you have created in us, and not the one that we created. Father, forgive us for stepping outside of that. Forgive us, Lord, for being disobedient, for finding ways that we don't have to forgive, for finding ways that we can hold grudges, for finding ways that we think are around your law, around your commandments. Forgive us, Lord. We are but frail human beings who look to you and follow you, that we know that one day, on some days, that we are your students, your disciples, and you school us. Then other days we are your disciple makers, and we help others to be schooled by you. Forgive us, Lord, that we have made this something into what it's not. Remind us always through our teachings, through your teachings, and through our obedience, that you're the Lord our God, who made us to be the church. We, Lord, are your disciples. Amen.